Taking a look now at preventing and treating dental disease with Dr. Lowell Lakritz of Madison. Happy to have him back. And certainly if you have some questions about your teeth, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Join in. Dr. Lakritz, welcome back.
Nice to be here again, Larry. We'll go from dermatology to dentistry.
Yep.
It's a healthcare morning.
Healthcare morning, you betcha. You know, my with our daughter, Emily, we never used a pacifier. And my wife was against pacifiers.
She no problem with that.
Yeah, she thought it might have a, well, for a variety of reasons. But I'm wondering, in terms of damaging a child's teeth, can they a pacifier have...
There are some downsides to it. It doesn't damage the teeth per se, but it can alter the shape of the mouth. A child who vigorously sucks on a pacifier, or for that matter, sucks on a thumb or a finger, the muscles of the cheeks and jaw can compress the growth of the bone. And a lot of times in excess, the upper jaw will be restricted in size as a result, and the child will wind up with what we call a cross bite between the lower jaw teeth and the upper jaw teeth. And the only way you can really correct that is using orthodontics braces. Mm-hmm. So you have to be a little judicious in how the child uses a pacifier for that particular reason. It's mostly that type of problem that it creates, nothing to the teeth themselves.
Okay. Well, Seth in Green Bay has a question for you, so let's go there. Seth, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure.
I'm trying to do a little research for my wife. We've run into an issue with a pediatric dentist, and I guess according to a couple of her friends, they've run into the same issue as well, and that is discouraging the parents from escorting the children into the dentist's office when they do the procedures. Mm-hmm. Not sure what it is, but she got real strong messages that they don't want the parents in there. The child will be just fine. Don't worry about it. And it was so bad at one place, we simply left. Wondered if this is a policy that's being taught, or what is behind that? And it seems to be in more than just one place.
It tends to concern itself with behavioral problems. Many dentists find, and I did myself in practice, find that frequently when parents are in the room during dental treatment for a child, the child starts to perform and basically creates problems of treatment that become more difficult to deal with. When a parent isn't in the room, the child tends to be calmer, behave better, and is more likely to accept the treatment without a lot of fuss and mess. So that's probably the reason. Most pediatric dentists will adhere to that policy. They don't like to have parents in the room simply because it mediates or mitigates behavioral problems.
Do you think that there are any different behavioral problems from going to the dentist as there would be from going to a physician?
Absolutely. Physicians don't have all this equipment in their offices that's all over the place. They don't make noise with things. They don't, they don't really approach. There's less of a hands-on with physicians than there is with dentists. Dentists cannot do what they do without a strong hands-on type of movement with the patient. So it tends to, not frighten, but create apprehension among kids. And I think not having a parent in the room seems to make the whole process a lot easier for the practitioner.
Okay.
Practitioner. I guess we're concerned about, whatever kind of trauma the child might be facing. You're turning your kid over to this guy with all this big equipment, and that's
well,
kind of scary for them.
You know, they're pretty well trained as to how to handle the situation. And in most, I'm not a pediatric dentist, but I've been in pediatric dentist offices when they're operating, and basically they handle these situations very well, and their offices and their staff are trained to work with children in a non-compromising manner, and it does work out quite well. I personally would recommend not being too apprehensive about letting your child go into the treatment room without you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call, Seth. Greg in Menominee, it's your turn. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are we doing? My question is, I'm going to go in for my bi-yearly checkup in about an hour here, and I'm going to be 50 in a couple of weeks here. And I'm worried about my cavities that I had through the, you know, 60s into the 70s after I, you know, lost my baby teeth. Should I be concerned about those cavities?
Well, if you're a regular attendee at your dentist's office, the dentist should be monitoring all that. And any time there is a problem with a filling that has been there for many, many years, he or she would probably recommend either replacing it or doing something about it. Many times, properly placed dental restorations will last decades. And even though you may have had these done when you were a teen or whatever, they still might be functionally doing their job, and there would be no necessity for any treatment.
I'd be more worried about the material they use, the mercury or whatever at the time.
Oh, no, there's really no problem with that. There's been so much research done on that angle. It's a controversial issue. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence around that says it's harmful, but in fact, you know, dental amalgam silver fillings containing small amounts of mercury have been used for 150 years, and there's never been any real evidence that they're harmful at all, because the amount of mercury that comes out of those fillings on a daily basis is so small. And you'd get more mercury eating a tuna fish salad sandwich than you would from your fillings. So it's really a very, it's not an issue as far as the profession of dentistry is concerned, the National Institute of Health, and all of the other organizations that have studied this problem for the last 50 years.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Greg. Appreciate it. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Question about your teeth or your kids' teeth? We'd be glad to talk with you. And Jerome in Eau Claire is up next. Hi, Jerome.
Hi. My question is I got a 5-year-old daughter that has an overbite, and her grandmother has an overbite. Has an overbite, same family. So my question was, her cousin had his jaw broke and everything when he was younger to fix it, but he still has the overbite, and he had all his headgear. Now, am I going to have that same problem with my daughter, or no?
Well, you know, it sounds like you've got a familial situation there where an overbite is genetically programmed into your family. She's 5 years old. This is probably the time to take her to an orthodontist and have it checked to see if there is something that can be done short of doing jaw surgery or anything of that nature. If you can get to a child early enough, a lot of these problems can be corrected with, you know, just normal braces. And so if you wait too long with that till she's 11, 12, 13 years old, which is unfortunate that happens a lot, then it becomes a real major problem trying to correct the overbite. Of course, an overbite is not a serious problem from the standpoint of living a long and useful life. You know, there's no real danger to it other than it can cause some jaw problems as people get older. And occasionally people will have difficulty in chewing their food as they get older. But most people accommodate well. But it's more of a cosmetic type thing as well as a problem which you would correct in order to create a proper bite, which would then eliminate problems down the line.
All right. Eric in Green Bay, it's your turn. Eric, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question about my teeth.
My fiance, she actually has really good teeth, and she eats sweets all the time. Meanwhile, I don't eat sweets. I limit my carbonated beverages. I don't drink or smoke, and my teeth seem to keep rotting away. I was wondering if there's any sort of diet that I can try to control, or special toothpaste that you would recommend, or...
Well, some of the latest research shows that incipient dental decay, which has not yet caused the hole in the tooth, in other words, what we call cavitation, it hasn't created a cavity. These actual incipient decay areas can be reversed with certain types of treatment. One particular treatment that seems to work very well is the chewing of xylitol gum. Xylitol is an artificial sweetener, but it seems to have the ability of causing remineralization of the areas of cavity formation which are demineralizing. And there's also the use of fluoride toothpastes, fluoride rinses. These can all reverse these incipient little cavity, not yet cavity areas. And of course, good brushing, flossing, etc., will also help too. So there is a way of reversing this trend, but you have to be kind of dedicated and do what is necessary. I was at a meeting just last week, as a matter of fact, an all-day meeting, which discussed this whole issue. There's a lot of research being done about this in the dental profession today, particularly now at the University of Illinois. And they have found that they can really turn people who are decay-prone around by proper home care and the use of things like the xylitol gum, fluoride rinses, and so forth and so on. There's a lot of materials that can be used. I would probably discuss this with your dentist if you can, although some of this material is so new that it surprised me. And, you know, I've been around for a lot of years. But some of it's so new that your dentist may not know about it. But if you ask, he can probably, or you can even go online and try to find some of this information.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah,
you bet.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Lowell Lakritz, our guest today, as we talk with him about preventing and treating dental disease. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Talking your dental health now with Dr. Lowell Lakritz of Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Happy to have you listening in. Give us a call with your teeth question at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll be happy to get you on the air. Someone was wondering if there's a non-surgical approach to treating TMJ that is caused by whiplash, a whiplash incident of several years earlier.
Well, yeah, there should be. You know, surgically, the surgical approach to treating temporomandibular joint dysfunction is, you know, a thing of absolute last resort. It's basically used only if the joint has become so arthritic that it can't move, that there's overgrowth of bone and arthritic problems in it, and then sometimes surgery will help that. But most cases, even those of whiplash or anything of that nature, can be treated in a non-invasive manner using types of mouth guards and various devices which can protect the joint itself during the day and during eating and chewing. So there's a lot of different ways to deal with these temporomandibular joint problems short of surgery.
Doug in Boston has a question for you. Hello, Doug.
Hi, guys. Good timing on the show, of course, as usual. I have a last Tuesday I was diagnosed with a pretty bad case of sinus infection, and the tooth directly below one of my upper front teeth, of course, directly below started getting very sensitive to cold and heat, and at the time I've been on amoxicillin since Tuesday, and it seems to be getting better, but my wife, of course, insisted that I call the dentist, make an appointment today. So instead, I'll just ask you first, and you'll probably tell me the same thing, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, a severe sinus infection can affect the upper teeth simply because anatomically the maxillary sinus, which causes most of the problems in sinusitis infections, extends down very, very close to the roots and the nerves of the teeth. And sometimes there's only a very, very thin layer of bone and a little bit of soft tissue that protects the that separates the tooth from the sinus. So an infection in the sinus, which causes inflammation and swelling and so forth, can affect the teeth. Usually the teeth will get sensitive. And when the sinus infection is cured, the teeth get better. But it might be a good idea to check with the dentist to make sure that there isn't a tooth-caused problem there. Because a lot of times an abscess tooth could feel like a sinus infection. You get the same types of symptomology. So it might be worthwhile to keep that appointment with the dentist and have that dentist check out, you know, just to make sure that you don't have a dental problem that's compromising the situation.
Yeah, I had cold symptoms prior for about 2 weeks prior, and then the tooth sensitivity came in a few days before I went into the doctor's office.
It's likely the result of your sinus infection, but, you know, I think you should really check it out.
Okay.
You never know. I've seen situations where, you know, I could have sworn this patient had a sinus problem, and on further examination, you find something wrong with the tooth that's causing the same type of symptoms. So, you know, it can happen. It's worth the visit.
Go, Doug.
Right.
Listen to your wife. Colleen in Onalaska, your turn. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. This show is great as usual.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a 3-year-old granddaughter, and she is showing signs of 3 cavities at this time, 1 on the top and 2 on the bottom. And I'm wondering if... should she have those looked at this time, since they're all baby teeth? She'll be losing them anyway.
How old did you say she was?
3.
She's 3.
Well, you know, those teeth are probably going to be there till she's 10 or 11 years old, sometimes as long as 13 years.
Oh, okay.
And if those teeth do get cavities in them, mm-hmm. actual holes in the teeth, that can alter the bite situation, and you can wind up with all kinds of problems with braces and orthodontics and things like that. It really is worthwhile getting those fillings taken care of.
Okay. We're trying to get her not to eat candy, trying to drill it into her that she can't eat candy and gum. But
there are a lot of things that can be done, as I don't know if you heard my statement or comments earlier about the prevention of dental decay. There are a lot of things that can be done, even with a child, to help these incipient types of decay areas, to help prevent them from turning actually into a cavity. So there are, as I said, fluoride rinses. There are several different varieties. Act Fluoriguard is another one. Prevident is another one.
Some gums, too.
Yes, and this, a 3-year-old, you have
probably
to be a little careful with gum because they tend to swallow it.
Yeah.
They tend to eat it. So when she's a little older, you could start her on one of these xylitol gums, but there's also liquid xylitol rinses that you can get. And I would certainly discuss this with your dentist or with a pediatric dentist if you have access to one of those. They're usually a little more up on this sort of thing for children.
Yeah.
And basically, that would be my recommendation.
All right.
Yeah.
But certainly, if she has actual cavities, certainly get them dealt with, because some cavities will bring on additional cavities because of the increased bacterial activity in the mouth.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your advice. I appreciate it very much.
You're
thanks,
welcome.
Colleen. Beth and Verona, we turn to you now. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's not exactly a disease question. I have a question about discoloration, not of the teeth per se, but the area where they extend up into the gums, really the area of recessions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my mid-50s, have a lot of recessions, and that area is very discolored. And is there anything at all that can be done about those?
Well, the whitening procedures that are very popular today to whiten the teeth did not work really well.
Mm-hmm.
On the root surfaces. It works nicely on the enamel part of the tooth, but when you have gum recession, it exposes part of the root. This does not have any enamel on it, and therefore the whitening procedures don't really work too well. From a cosmetic standpoint, the only way you can really deal with those discolorations and the cosmetic problems that they create is to cover them up. Mm-hmm. And you can do this with porcelain veneers, or other types of cosmetic procedures that are quite popular today in dentistry. But unfortunately, that's the only solution you have other than living with it.
Yeah.
And do those heighten the sensitivity?
No, they don't. They actually cover the areas up, and if you have some sensitivity, it'll actually stop it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Tom in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I've been flossing for years, but recently I discovered a little product called Gums, G-U-M-S, which is like a plastic toothpick with kind of a furry end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's certainly a lot more convenient than flossing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if there's a downside to this.
Not really. You know, we used to think a lot that the contact area between the two teeth, between two teeth, was very vulnerable, and that's why flossing was highly recommended. But it's been found in recent years that actually the cavities start just below that contact point. And because the teeth are slightly mobile, they actually move when you chew and when you eat and clench and so forth, that contact area is actually kept fairly clean. So the floss is good because you have to get rid of the plaque and the material that's caught between the teeth down below the contact area. But what you're using is okay. I particularly don't advocate the plastic ones because they are a little harsh. I like to use, there's a little balsa wood type device that is used between the teeth, and they work much, much better. You can get them in mostly any pharmacy.
Sticks.
Yeah.
I call them sticks.
They're actually, they look like a little stick, but they're sort of triangular shaped, and they're called Stimudents.
That's right.
And these work very nicely, and they because they're made of balsa wood, they don't do it. There's no abrasive activity against the side of the tooth at all. So those are good. But what you're using is fine, but I would just recommend it. Use it judiciously. Don't force the issue. You know, get it between the teeth and clean the area, but don't get too vigorous because then you could actually cause some damage to a tooth.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'll get you on pretty fast. Mark in Colfax is up next. Mark, hello.
Hello. Good morning. I'm wondering about the newer composite fillings. Whenever I've had them, my teeth don't seem to settle down and to a point where some of them I've even had to have removed and have the old metal fillings put in. Wondering what might be going on there. Is this an unusual thing or?
No, it's not that unusual, unfortunately. The use of the cosmetic fillings, the composite cosmetic fillings, the ones that are tooth-colored, they look great, but they're a very, very technically sensitive material to use. And they have some properties which, if not adhered to the precise placement of these things, can cause problems like sensitivity. For example, they tend to shrink when they're hardened. And because they bond to the tooth structure, when they shrink, they actually pull the sides of the tooth together, and this can cause sensitivity. So one of the premier ways of putting these things into teeth is to use very small amounts and build it up gradually so that you cure each small amount, harden it, and then before you place the next part. And this minimizes the amount of shrinkage. Also, some of the newer composite resins that have come on the market have they've developed a limited amount of shrinkage to them. The manufacturers have worked on ways of limiting that shrinkage, some of them using nanotechnology to, you know, the particles of material in there are nanoparticles, which are extremely tiny, and avoid the shrinkage that way. But another problem is if these are placed without a secure lining or base underneath them, they can also cause some sensitivity. So there's it's just a very technically sensitive method of restoring a tooth, but if it's done correctly, there should be little or minimal amount of sensitivity. And occasionally, some people just seem to be sensitive to this stuff, and no matter what you do, they're sensitive. So I not knowing what your problem actually is, not having, you know, seen your teeth or seen the way these things were put in, I really can't tell you, but at least there, I've described the problems that can exist with these materials. So.
All right.
But basically, I really shouldn't have any problems just asking for the old metal one.
Absolutely not. You know, I've been around in this profession for close to 40 years, and I am convinced, and so is the world of science and dentistry, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with a metal filling. I mean, they last for years and years and decades even, and they're completely harmless. Although, as I said earlier in the program, there's a lot of anecdotal stuff published online and in blogs and things like that, saying that metal fillings are terrible for you and you should have them all taken out, because if you don't, you're going to get these awful diseases. And, you know, it just doesn't compute. So go ahead and get those metal fillings put in, and they'll serve you fine, as long as it's not a cosmetic problem.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mark. Lyle and Strum, it's your turn. Hi, Lyle.
Okay, yeah. I have a question on flossing versus water pick type things. You know, I flossed for years, and one of my friends says that water pick, he reads, is just as good as flossing, and flossing for me is difficult because my teeth are so tight. I'm wondering, maybe I'm not doing a good thing.
Well, you know, flossing is fine. It's a great way of maintaining healthy gum tissue and of cleansing the area between the tooth and the gum. A water pick is not as effective for removing dental plaque, which is very sticky. It's made up of several types of organic polymers and bacteria problems, and it does not remove easily without actually physically removing it, like with floss or with these little Stimudents that I talked about earlier. A water pick is a nice device for removing food particles. They're great for kids who have braces. They can they rinse the food from around the braces to help keep everything clean. People who have a lot of bridge work, water picks work well for. But it really isn't if you have natural teeth sitting one against another. Floss is a much better way of cleaning those things, or using those little Stimudents, or any device which will get between the teeth to clean them.
All right. On to Ryan in Lena, Illinois. Hi, Ryan. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just had a question about wisdom teeth. I was talking with a friend who told me he had his wisdom teeth removed, and mine just started to come in, but it feels like they stopped. And he said if they stopped and they're partially exposed, they're considered impacted and have to be removed. But I don't know. Is that true?
Well, he's basically right. If the wisdom teeth don't erupt fully into a functional manner so that one wisdom tooth on the bottom opposes the other wisdom tooth on the top, these, and they're partially covered by gum tissue or partially embedded in the bone of the jaw, these can cause infection. They can get uncomfortable. You can get food particles caught in there. And not everybody needs to have their wisdom teeth removed, but it's a good idea to have that checked out with some x-rays to see what position they're in and what the potential is for them to erupt properly. And go on the recommendation of your dentist or oral surgeon, for that matter. Yeah. Oral surgeons tend to want to get them all out. They feel that wisdom teeth are detrimental unless they're perfectly functional. And otherwise, they like to remove them. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting a proper opinion or consultation from your dentist or maybe more than one dentist to get a double opinion.
All right. Thanks for calling, Ryan. And on to Connie in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Connie.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I've got a million questions, but mainly when a person has a crown done, I've had several over the years, and why don't they always automatically do a root canal ahead of time? Because more than once I've had crowns put on and once a bridge, and then he ends up going back in there 4 years later, drilling through the thing like you're drilling through a bathtub, and doing a root canal. I mean, wouldn't it just make sense if you're going to cover something over to get a root canal right away?
Well, at one time that was an idea that saw some popularity, but it really isn't necessary. If a tooth that is going to get a crown on it has a huge, large cavity in it, a lot of times what I used to do, and what a lot of dentists will do, is they will clean all of the decay out and put some type of temporary material in that tooth and let it sit for a while to make sure that it doesn't become symptomatic, so it does, there's no pain involved, and to inspect things very carefully under magnification if you have to get real close to the tooth nerve. But there really is no rational good reason to do a root canal prior to doing a crown. A crown is basically... it's like a thimble that fits over your finger. What you're trying to do is protect weak parts of the tooth from fracture and breakage by putting this thimble-like thing and surround the tooth with it. If that's done carefully and all cautions are taken, there should be no problem. However, there's a caveat here because occasionally, no matter how careful you are, you know, months, weeks later, years later, a tooth with a crown can fail and then would need a root canal. But certainly doing the root canal up front is not a practical thing, not from the, either from the standpoint of treatment or from the standpoint of expense, you know, because root canals are expensive, and so are crowns. So, you know, if you don't have to spend all that money, it's much better.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Connie, for calling. Joan in Mequon. Hello.
Hi. My son, who is 12, is undergoing treatment for some orthodontics, and in the course of that, they have discovered that he has a 12-year-old molar, which is being impeded by a wisdom tooth, that the wisdom tooth is lower in his jaw, or his upper jaw, than his wisdom tooth. Would you recommend that that wisdom tooth be removed?
Well, if the wisdom tooth itself is kind of impeding the eruption of the 12-year molar, that would probably be a good idea. Not having you know, a sight of your son's X-rays or your having a sight of her X-rays, it's really hard for me to tell. But if the orthodontist recommends removal of that wisdom tooth in order to properly align the tooth next to it, I think that would be the wise way to go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Lynn in Rushford, we turn to you now. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, thank you. I have to have a crown put on a back molar, and I'd like it to be stainless steel because our insurance pays a lot better for stainless steel. But I guess I have a choice between that and porcelain, and I was just wondering what your opinion was.
Well, the new types of porcelain crowns are very, very good. They're very functional. They're very cosmetic. And basically, stainless steel crowns are what we'd call a preformed crown. They sort of manufacture them in a bunch of different sizes, and the dentist sort of has to size this to your tooth and then trim it and fit it properly. And they never really fit quite as well as a cast gold crown or a porcelain over metal type crown or the all porcelain crown. And so if you're, you know, if a porcelain crown is okay with your insurance company, go that way. I would recommend that as opposed to the stainless steel ones, which definitely are not as cosmetic either. But, you know, they're stainless steel crowns are good and functional over short periods of time, but it's not a long-term treatment.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Question earlier, do pregnant women have special oral health needs?
Absolutely. The hormonal changes that go on in a pregnant woman's body does affect the health of the gum tissue. And basically, they can develop certain conditions of the gums and the lining tissues of the mouth. And good oral home care is really vital in with a pregnant woman. They should clean their teeth well, brush them well, floss them well, and they'll minimize these problems that occur during pregnancy. And of course, after the pregnancy, you really have to continue that because once you get into the habit of it, it's going to be good for all types of preventive care. And that's highly recommended that this go on during pregnancy.
And one final question about what about these titanium toothbrushes that are
that's
out there now?
Sort of gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
It was a flash in the pan. There's the companies that manufacture healthcare devices such as toothbrushes, dental floss, they're always looking for a gimmick. Call it a gimmick to increase their market share. And, you know, that was one thing that came along, but, you know.
All right. It's gone by the board.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lowell, I thank you very much for being with us, and you'll come back again, I hope.
Oh, absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure, Larry.
Dr. Lowell Lakritz of Madison, our guest, and we will talk with him again about preventing and treating dental disease and talk about your teeth health and mine as well. Appreciate having him along. Just to take a look at what's coming up tomorrow, the world of insects is on our minds tomorrow. Phil Pelletieri is a University of Wisconsin Extension entomologist. He works out of the Insect Diagnostic Lab at UW-Madison will be our guest to answer your questions. Japanese beetles were a real problem this year for me. You may have a question about them or some other insects as well. But that'll come up tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.